I'm going to put this down, which means I'm going to expect you to do the work up there. Is that good? Thank you. Down like that. If you've got your Bibles, will you turn with me to Luke and chapter 4. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 14. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up and read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." May God bless the reading of his word to us as we consider it a bit this morning. I wonder if we can bring up the PowerPoint presentation. Thank you. I've been able to come and speak here this morning, and I'm really pleased. Pleased for the opportunity to come and speak, but also pleased for the opportunity to talk a little bit about the work of MAF. There's lots that I could say, and hopefully through the year I'll get an opportunity to say bits and pieces to the church about the work of MAF. I am coming to the prayer meeting tomorrow evening, so I'll have a bit more to say about it. So if you need to know some more, or you're excited to find out more, then that'll be good. I've been a representative for MAF for just over 2 years, so there's lots I do not know. So if you've got questions about specific aeroplanes and where they fly to, I probably don't know, but I can find out. And there's lots I have learnt over the last couple of years, and it's been quite exciting. I'd like us to talk a little bit just about one area of work for MAF. At the moment, I did try and think about where I could start, and I thought, well, why not talk about where the Lord is leading your heart? And specifically, it's about one country. It's a new country. It's the newest country in the world. The newest country in the world, if you didn't know it, is South Sudan. It only became a country about 3 and a bit years ago. Before then, it was part of the whole of Sudan. And now it's a country in its own right. And so I'd like us to speak a little, to talk a little bit about that. The reason I want to talk about it is because in the light of events, sometimes we feel powerless. And I wanted you to come along on a little journey with me to think about the fact that actually we can make a difference. In God, in Christ, we have the ability to make a difference in this world. And that's quite remarkable. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then Christ says you can make a difference. I wonder if you've thought about that in this year as you start 2015. I've just been reading some missionary books, and one particular missionary was called George Whitfield. And as I read it through, I thought, gosh, there was a man really used by God. I wonder, you know, could you aspire to be somebody like him? And I thought, no. God's just using me as me. And then I thought, well, you get a chance to talk about MAF today. Why not share some of that vision? Why not share some of what God is doing through ordinary people, those who love him, who make a difference? So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So I wanted to talk about barriers and roads to overcome. Next slide, thank you. Barriers to overcome, roads and runways. Now you may be thinking, roads and runways aren't barriers, are they? Are they? Well, actually, in some places, yes, they are. Next picture. In this picture is the main road into Juba, which is in is the capital of South Sudan. Sudan itself has a climate which is different to Northern Sudan. Northern Sudan is quite desert-like. But South Sudan gets a lot of rainfall, and it's sort of in that equatorial belt where it gets a lot of rain. And that means that the roads turn to mush very quickly. And probably for most of the year, roads are like that. And that's the main road through, and the lorries trying to get through it. Next slide. Just to help us understand where South Sudan is, because if you're like me, my geography lessons were a long time ago. So smack in the middle of Africa, but over towards the Red Sea side. Next slide shows it a little bit more clearly. So the yellow part is showing Sudan, and the grey part underneath it is South Sudan. And you'll notice that it's landlocked. And as I say, if you look at the countries round it, you'll notice quite a few countries that you will have seen with war-torn areas. African Republic, Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia. So not an area that's known for being out of trouble. And South Sudan has started its brief life in trouble. Next slide shows us one of the problems that they have. I don't think you can see that green line takes oil pipes that go from South Sudan, because South Sudan's got lots of oil. So you think, that's brilliant. There's a country who's got lots of natural wealth. But that green line takes you all the way up to the Red Sea, and it goes through Sudan. Now, at the moment, South Sudan and Sudan are not friends. And so if you want to get your oil out to the Gulf and get it shipped around the world, it has to go through Sudan currently. And so when you've got a war-torn situation, as South Sudan is facing at the moment, a third of their economy goes like that because of the weather. Another third of the economy goes like that because you can't get the oil out because you're at war with North Sudan. Thank you very much. Next slide. Yes, this is a road. That is a common situation, and it's why MAF flies. You might say, well, you know, why do they have to fly these little planes? And the reason they have to fly is because you can't get through on the roads. That's important when you think about just the normal things of life for people there. So a day in the life of somebody in South Sudan, if you need to get to Southampton or Winchester Hospital, it doesn't take too long. It might be a bit of a drag through, but it's easy to get through. If I told you that it might take you 4 days of heavy walking to get through, you might think more about it. Everybody had a leaflet in your news sheets today that tells you a little bit more about what goes on and just how difficult it is to do the simplest of things in countries where the infrastructure is like this. Next slide for us shows the reason I put this particular slide in. It looked very similar to the other one, but it's actually a school bus. The children are trying to get to school, and I called it Everybody Out, because they had to walk. It took them another 2 hours to get to school, and they got there about lunchtime, and they had to walk back again, because the bus, of course, can't get through that, to be able to take them out again. A very difficult situation for people to go in. The infrastructure that they do have is stressed. I don't know about you, but I really bumped a bit through the potholes in this year, haven't you? Through the road. But next slide shows just... See, now, whilst it takes us a while sometimes and we have difficulties, we don't have to put up with that. That's a main route through, again, into Juba. And that's because they don't have much money, and so infrastructure is not looked after. And we know what happens when you don't look after things, it breaks down. And so that's a bridge. There's actually, I don't know if you can see it very clearly, but there's a little blue open truck van on the back there. And there's a man inside that waiting very patiently to see if anybody can get him out. Could he go backwards, or can somebody come down and help him out of that circumstance? And you might think, well, that's tricky, isn't it? Well, yeah, especially if you consider that he was the man who was bringing supplies to an orphanage. Ah, or it might have been the post for your letters, or it might have been, you can think of a circumstance where it might have been your payslip. It could have been all sorts of things. And if that happens in your road, then nothing is going to get through. So people need to fly. People know to fly through. One of the major aid agencies that are supported by MAF is Tier Fund. So Tier Fund, if they need to get to a place like this, how do they get there? Well, they get flown in by MAF. One of the reasons why they like to go there is not just because it's faster, it's also safer. Next slide. Travelling is not a safe option. It is a war-torn area. And when asked by Tier Fund operatives which why they wanted to go by MAF, it was not only because they were flown safely there and quickly, it's because they didn't get shot at. Wow. Because they didn't get shot at. So, of course, MAF provides a vital lifeline to people, but they do require runways for their planes, short as they are, to be able to get in. This picture is actually not taken in South Sudan, it's taken in Madagascar, which is another place where they work, but I thought I'd use it as a picture and wondered if you'd like to take off or land on such a runway. Can you imagine standing at the top of that hill and thinking, right, we're off? Quite frightening circumstances to be able to get in and out of. The runways, whilst they're surveyed by MAF, they're actually provided by local people. They do the work of clearing the ground and making sure it happens. I've got loads of pictures of craggy little mountain tops where you can see a great crevasse falling down either side and a tiny strip that looks no more than half of Market Street, and that's what they land on in between. And you think, oh, how do they manage to do that? They do it in very small planes, usually. Next slide. This is one of the typical planes. It's a Cessna, and one of the smallest planes. They use a range of different aeroplanes for different jobs. Sometimes you need very short runways to get into a very small space, but other times you might be flying into an area where you need to really take lots of different cargoes, and so they have some larger planes. Typically, I mention cargoes, but the next slide shows us that it's not just stuff, it's people. And it's people that MAF cares greatly about. The planes are very configurable. I don't know about your car, but I'm very pleased with mine because I can flatten the seats down and I can lift it up again and put all sorts of stuff in the back of it. And every MAF plane is a bit like that. You can change it very quickly. Seats out, mattress in, and somebody is flying along. The people who get airlifted, Medair is one of the major agencies that we use as a partner airline. They love to be able to use us because we'll adapt the plane very quickly. So it's not just for the person who's flying. It's usually for somebody who's going with them. The reason for it's somebody going with them is because at the hospital at the other end, there is nobody who's going to give you food. You bring your support with you. So if you didn't bring a family member or somebody who was going to look after you, then you're in a bit of trouble at the other end as well. So planes have to be reconfigured really quickly. The next slide shows some of the other things that we take down. So there is some aid distribution. If you've ever seen any of the latest crisis, you will have seen an MAF plane somewhere taking aid, whether it's stuff in boxes or it's actually the wheelbarrow that's gone there as well. Because if it didn't come by an MAF plane, it probably didn't get there. The next slide shows something. I don't know if you can see what it is. That red thing is actually a cement mixer. MAF has taken all sorts of strange things. The strangest thing I heard last time was a live buffalo. I'm sort of glad I wasn't on that flight. But they do take lots of great things in. And because they have to do that. If you're in South Sudan, next slide, and your eyes are poor, I don't know how many here have had cataract operations, but here is a medical team that was flown in by MAF to do cataract operations and to help those with sight difficulties. There are only two eye doctors for the whole population of South Sudan. I'll say that slowly. There are only two eye doctors for the whole of South Sudan. That's a huge thing. And so if you need to get to these people, it's incredibly hard. The last time a team was flown in, people walked for 4 days to get to the site. Walked for 4 days to get there. I love the next picture. This is a man with his granddad. And he's saying, count your fingers, Grandad, because he's just for the first time been able to see and he can count his fingers. Beautiful example of what was done. All the equipment, the eye doctors themselves, all flown in by MAF planes. In that particular occasion, in 2 weeks, 300 people had their sight restored. And at the end of when they left, there was a pile of sticks left. They didn't need them anymore. The last couple of pictures that I have on this, for those of you who didn't get a chance to see Plumpy Nuts, this is boxes of Plumpy Nuts going in, doing aid distribution, a major part of MAF's work. When the television cameras have gone, aid distribution continues, and it continues because people like MAF are working with aid agencies throughout the time. And they continue to do so. So I leave this part of my talk with this slide. What could you do? Have you got a skill that you could use that would be useful to MAF? I'm not a pilot. I don't suppose there's one here today. But there are people with skills that might be useful to MAF. Could you help by giving? One of the films that I was hoping to show this morning, I just haven't had a chance, was talking about what will a jerry can of fuel cost. And one large jerry can of fuel costs about £20. That flies a plane for 20 minutes. 20-minute flight can save 2 lives. That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? A jerry can of fuel might save 2 lives because it's a flight that can get there when nobody else can. And of course, by your prayers. We have a God who is remarkable. We've praised him already this morning. And he can do great things. Then we should be able to bring great things to him for him to do. Let's pray together about these things. We have a great God. And you can do that if you're informed. Otherwise, it's a bit like God bless mummy, God bless daddy, which has value. But it's so much better if you can say, Lord, I lift up Tom Smith, who is in South Sudan today, and he is trying to get in where a group of people have been trying for years, and he's trying to land his plane in a difficult area. Will you be with him and guide him? So much more interesting and available to do that. And you can do that if you're informed. So if you'd like, I know we all get lots of mission information, but if you'd like to find out more about MAF and its work, then if you can come on Monday evening, that's great to learn a little bit more. But also have a look at some of the materials that I have to bring. I wanted to bring you that reading specifically about Jesus, because this is my first chance to preach in 2015. So thank you for that opportunity. And I don't know if it was Jesus's first chance to preach in Nazareth. But I wonder how he felt when he got that scroll and he rolled it out and they gave him the scroll of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 61. And he probably smiled as he looked at it and he saw, oh, I know this passage well. For the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news. And then he closed it up and every eye was on him. Everybody was listening. The context of Isaiah 61, where that came from in the first place, that Jesus quotes in our reading in Luke chapter 4, is in a whole section of Isaiah talking about the people of Israel having really messed up. They were in their sin. Isaiah 59 talks about your iniquities have separated you from your God. And today's world, we are only too aware of the sin that separates people from the God whom we love. Chapter 60 went on to talk about the promises that God had given to his people if they would be his people. Until you get to chapter 61, when there's this special part that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Jesus sets it out as his mission statement. I've come to preach good news to the poor. Jesus says that he's anointed. I wonder if you feel anointed this morning. You know, that was all right for Jesus, wasn't it? He was anointed. But how do we feel? Are we feeling an anointed people? What does that mean? Are we filled with the Spirit of God this morning? In 2 Corinthians, it talks about if you know Christ, if you're born again, then you are sealed with his Spirit. You are anointed. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, if you want to go into verses for it. John picks up the same theme and says the same thing. Anointed? For what purpose? To proclaim the good news to the poor. So not only was Jesus anointed, but I would say that all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ are anointed to preach good news to the poor. Oh, I'm not a preacher, you might say. Well, how would you preach good news to the poor? How would you be a good neighbour? As I mentioned to the young people, first of all. Sometimes we get opportunities to be that person to speak, and we don't. I remember once I was in Southampton Hospital, not as a patient, as a visitor, and I was going down a stairwell, and there was a man who was crouched in a corner in the stairwell as you came down from F Ward, I think it was, up the top. And he was crying and in some distress. And I stopped and I said, is there anything I can do for you? And he said, no. And I just let it go and I went on. And you know, that really bugged me afterwards. I thought, I could have done more, you know. I could have done something. There are occasions in our lives when I think God places it on our hearts to do something and to not pass by. But it's easy to do. But it's bothered me that was an occasion when perhaps God was saying, are you going to do something, David? are you going to get involved here? I'm really privileged to be able to come and talk about MAF, and I have no idea what God has anointed you for in 2015. But I do believe that Christians are anointed people to spread the good news, to share what God has given them. I don't know if you'll ever get a chance to talk to people in prisons, as Jesus was talking. I used to go and work in Winchester Prison for a while. I used to teach IT there. You meet a group of people that you wouldn't normally meet. But they are loved by God just the same. And you get perhaps just a tiny circumstance where you might be able to speak to somebody. I wonder if in this week you will meet a group of people that you don't normally meet. And you'll have the opportunity to say, well, do you know, on Sunday I was listening about, and you'll get something to be able to talk about, to share the good news. I've got no medical skills, so how can I help in that way when Jesus says that he's going to be able to heal those people? Well, in this year so far, by supporting mission organisations, I've helped two groups of people who have been in real crisis. I've helped deliver two babies. Well, not me personally, but because a plane was able to get to a group of people, and this particular lady had been in labour for 2 days, and the plane was called for, plane came back, she delivered twins safely. You are able to be involved because you're prayerfully praying for people in a land of conflict, in those circumstances that we've heard of in the news. Simon was a man who was in one of the villages in northern South Sudan, which is where the oil fields are. But it's also one of those areas where it's in real conflict. And in those conflicts, militia came in and took his village over. Now, he thought he was safe because he was in an area where it was swampy. And he thought, well, nobody's going to come here with a tank. But the militia still came in. They took over his village. They burnt down his house. And his people had to run. He and his family had to run. They had nowhere to run to specifically, so they ran into the swamps. In the swamps, they had to live on what they'd taken with them. And after 3 days, the biscuits that they'd taken had failed. That was it. That was the end of them. And so they lived for 3 weeks eating water lilies. I don't know what they taste like, but I guess it's not good. Eventually, he had the courage to go into one of the militia-held compounds and get to a phone where he called somebody who knew MAF. MAF made a mercy flight in and lifted him out, and he's now living in Uganda safely with his family. Simon's life was changed so much that he set up an orphanage in Uganda for all the friends of his who are exiting South Sudan because they're afraid of the war situation that are around him. It makes a difference. People like him are making a difference. I believe you and I can make a difference. In that particular passage that I read that Jesus said, Jesus only quotes a little bit of what Isaiah said. I don't know if you know it, but in Isaiah's quote, he was to go on to talk about not just that this was the day that you were to go and preach good news, but he also talks about the day of judgment. And Jesus stopped before then. It's not because he didn't know the rest of the verse. It's because this is a day of the Lord's favour. You and I live in a day of the Lord's favour. There is a time coming when all will be judged. I'm not too sure when that will be. But today, I'm sure that we live in a day of the Lord's favour. We live in the year of the Lord's favour. When Jesus spoke on that particular occasion, everybody spoke well of him. Until the passage that I didn't read. For Jesus went on to explain, crunch time, fellas. This is about you. This is about what you're going to do. And you may not be part of this if you don't hear these words. And when they heard that, they were incensed because they thought, but we're God's people. And so between verse 22, where it said, all spoke well of him, verse 28 said, everybody was furious. Because it came to the crunch of, yeah, but now it's personal. What are you going to do? And it's fine sometimes for us to sit and think, yeah, that was good. But yeah, but now what are you and I going to do with all of this? Don't be deceived into thinking that you cannot do anything. We are called to be salt and light. That's a practical thing that we're called to be. There's a philosopher a long time ago called Nietzsche who said He called it das Nichte, a German word for the nothing. And he said, life is just like that. It's a nothing. You're the result of blind accident. And because of that, everything is, you know, it's a nothing. That's not true. There is a God who sees and knows and loves. There is a God who loves you. He's full of grace and justice and mercy. And because of that, we have a message to tell, good news. MAF goes with over 1,500 partner organisations to do its work. Wow, would you like to support 1,500 mission organisations this morning? You can do that. By one umbrella organisation, MAF. But better still, wouldn't you like to partner with God yourself? Be one of those partner organisations in this year. I've got a video. I've skipped a couple of video clips and the man up there is going, he hasn't played that piece. I'd like you to play just one video clip as we close, called Because. Thank you. Because you prayed, because you gave, because you gave. Thank you.